Father, we thank you for, Lord, your life, God. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the body, Lord, this morning. We just pray that you would just meet us here, Lord, as we give to you today, Lord. We just want to set our hearts and our minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Lord, your word tells us, Jesus, you said it yourself, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. Lord, as we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray, Lord, that our lives would be invested into your kingdom. And we pray that it would come. And we pray that, Lord, your will would be done on this earth. We pray that the revelation of God, the manifestation of God, and ultimately the worship, Lord, of God through every tribe, tongue, and nation, Lord, would happen on this earth. And Father, that you would use us, God, so as we give to you this morning, as we bring our tithe to you this morning, we just pray you would bless it. We pray you'd bless and open your word to us now as we continue our study here in this incredible epistle of Colossians. And we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if I could ask you to grab your Bible, and if you don't have one, there should be one in the seat back in front of you, and stand to your feet for the reading of the word this morning. Again, we are in Colossians chapter 3. We are finishing up a mini-series that we've been doing. You might say many. It's been nine studies, but that's many. A series that we've been doing here on the path to victory, how we experience a victory in our walks with the Lord. And so we want to kind of try to tie everything together this morning and finish that up as we will then be getting into next week a sweet section on really the family and our lives outside of church itself. And so we'll be looking at that. But let's start at verse 12. We are going to be looking at verse 17 this morning, which is the last verse of this section. But let's pick it up at verse 12 for context. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And our verse this morning, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And Lord, we come to you and humble our hearts and ask God that you would meet us here today. And Father, that you would open our hearts to the blessings that we are able to have as we follow you, as we walk in your Spirit. Bless our lives, we do pray, God. But Lord, show us the path of blessing. Show us that path, Father, where you are just on the throne and ruling. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our own failures and foolishness, and be glorified, we ask. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's not rules that Paul wants the church to follow. A list of regulations to find the path of victory, to find righteousness, holiness in their life. But it's being ruled by the Spirit of God. That's what Paul here is really kind of summing up with and bringing this whole thing to its conclusion on how to walk with God, how to know God, how to experience the fullness of God, how to put off the old, as we saw there in chapter 3, in verse 5. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So we're to put to death. And then he says there in verse 8, but now you must also put off all things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of the mouth. Do not lie to one another and put since you've put off the old man. So he calls this thing that we're to put off the old man. This thing, what is called the flesh, to put off the old lifestyle. We have seen thus far in our study, as we've been looking really from verse 5 all the way there through verse 7, this path of victory. We've seen how we're to put off the old and to put on the new. Last week we talked about how the word of Christ is to flow through us there in verse 16. And this morning what we want to talk about is how his word transforms us. The word of God is to transform our lives. That's the goal. You know, I was reminded of that as I wasn't here, obviously, on Wednesday night, as I was in Washington, D.C., and my son, Isaac, they're doing a rotation down in the youth ministry, and he's one of the teachers that, so I got the teaching. Pastor Mike had recorded it for me so graciously, and I listened to it, and his text was about what it means to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and just how easy it is for us to be in that place, you know, James chapter 1, you know, of just hearing, thinking because I'm hearing, I'm being changed. But remember what Paul had said, and we saw this two studies ago. He said there in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That God's word would richly dwell in our hearts. God's word would take up its residence and rule in our hearts and reign in our hearts and dwell there. And this is exactly here what Paul is talking about. When he comes here to verse 17, he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, rules lead to legalism. They don't lead to holiness, but that's oftentimes what we do as people, as humans, as we think, okay, for me to be righteous, for me to be holy, show me the 10 steps and I'll follow them. Give me the 10 commandments and I'll obey them. But you quickly find out that that's very hard to do because of an issue called sin. An issue called the flesh. An issue that every one of us deal with as a believer, struggling with it. And how do I do it? How do I become holy? Well, Paul is, if you remember, he is combating some false teaching that's going on in the church of Colossae. And if you remember there in chapter 2, in fact, look there with me at chapter 2, verse 20. Paul is saying, this is what they're teaching you. And this is futile, he says. Chapter 2, verse 20 through 23, he says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? You see, that's what the false teachers were teaching. You need to subject yourself to regulations. Look what he says, verse 21, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And this is really the context that he starts chapter 3 in, is that we are not to have these list of do's and don'ts that are going to make us holy, but instead we are to set our mind on the things above. That's what he says there in chapter 3, verse 1, right? Set our mind on the things above. Seek the things which are above. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, put to death these your members which are on the earth. Lay these things off. Lay these things aside. Chapter 3 here, verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on these things. How do I get there? How do you get there? Well, Paul says here in our text this morning, he says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Ultimately, instead of having a list of rules, I can, I can, I can, I can't, I can't, I can't, just simply have the Spirit of God to guide your life, that you would be able to say to whatever, note the phrase, whatever you do, that you can do it in the name of Jesus. That's really what Paul's talking about. But to do this, I think there's a principle that we need to fully understand. I think for most of us, we do understand it, but let's be reminded of it. And that is, the only way that I'm going to have victory over sin is not by a list of rules that I'm to follow, but it's to be ruled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. We need a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit in our lives every day. Every day. That's not just today. We need a fresh outpouring every day. And there is these wonderful parallel passages that are found between the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. It's almost like they're the gospels of the epistles. When I say that, I mean this, because you have what are called the synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three gospels. Those are the ones that they're very similar. And the word synoptic comes from the idea of to see the same. They kind of parallel the same stories, but they have a few different nuances to them. And it's fun to compare them. Well, when you get to the epistles, you can do that with the epistle of Ephesians and Colossians. There's so many parallels. And there's one parallel this morning, I think probably the most important parallel that I could point out in the two books, concerning this idea of dying to self, concerning this idea of putting off the old man, concerning this idea of being transformed, being made into the image of Jesus. And how is that done? Well, in Ephesians, Paul speaks there in chapter 5. Turn there with me to Ephesians. Just go back here, two books, to the book of Ephesians in your New Testament here, and you find yourself at Ephesians chapter 5. There in verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Which says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, hold your finger there, please, and go back to our Colossians passage. So he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then in chapter 3 here of Colossians, in verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the parallel here is, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Or let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you're going to see why I believe this is a clear parallel. These are synonymous, if you would. For me and you to be filled with the Spirit, we need to be filled with the word of God. That's the idea of dwelling in you richly, being filled with the word of God. And as I'm filled with the word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, and these two are working together in my life, there is going to be fruit that comes out of my life. Now watch this. Go back to the Ephesians passage. Look what it says in verse 19. Of Ephesians 5, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound familiar? Hold your finger there. Go back to our Colossians. Look what it says. Colossians 3, verse 16. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Listen, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Very similar, isn't it? In fact, it's almost identical. Now, go back to Ephesians. Again, continue to hold your finger in both of these passages. Look what it says in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Look at chapter 6 there of Ephesians, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Look at verse 4 of chapter 6. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh. Look at verse 9. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master is also in heaven. Now go back to the Colossians passage. Look at verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents. Look at verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Look at verse 22. Servants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh. Jump down to chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. It's a parallel passage. Now, here's the point I want to make, that this is the fruit of, in Ephesians, this is the fruit of not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to point out, as many of you are aware of, because we've pointed this out so many times before, that the idea here of being filled with the Spirit in the Greek text in the Ephesians passage there, Ephesians 5:18, which you should memorize that verse, by the way. And you should know what I'm about to say that goes with the verse when you're thinking about the verse, when you're quoting the verse to yourself. That is that it's in the present tense. That is, it would read this way, and be ye constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It's called in the Greek a present imperative. It's a commandment. It's not, hey, if you get around to it, think about it. If you'd like to do this, get filled with the Spirit. That's kind of a cool feeling to have. That's kind of like, if you want to be a charismatic, be filled with the Spirit. If you don't, don't. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm commanding you, be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is an ongoing thing. It's a present tense. Be ye continually filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit every day of your life. Do we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us? Always. Always. My prayer is, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. That prayer never gets old. I never get tired of it. Lord never gets tired of hearing it. It's a position of the heart. It's a position saying, I can't, but you can. You've commanded me to do these things. I can't do them, but you've commanded me to do them. And you didn't command me to do them to watch me fail. And you gave me the ability to do them. God's commandments are God's enablements. God will enable you and I to do that which he's commanded us to do. And he's commanded us to be filled with the Spirit so that we can accomplish. Now, if you look at the Ephesians passage and all of those verses I read, this is the fruit of being filled with the Spirit. This is the evidence. This is the transformed life of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That wives, listen, and there's no wife in here today, I don't care how great your husband is, that you have never struggled with the verse that says, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Now, they're like, that's easy, that's a joy, that's great. Okay? And it is easy to submit when your husband does whatever you want. Sure, honey, anything you need, anything you want, it's all yours. Yeah, no problem, babe. That's easy to submit to. But when he says no, you're like, what? What? I haven't heard that before. What? You need what? You need to be filled with the Spirit, to obey the Lord. Not to obey your husband, obey the Lord. And there's not one husband in here, and if he is, stand up and we're going to, you know, stone you in the courtyard afterwards. If you really think that it's easy to say, oh yeah, I just love my wife like Christ loves the church. Like that is like impossible. Okay, I can love my wife like maybe you love your wife, huh? Yeah, I can do that. But Christ loves the church? How do I do that? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the only way. There's no child. And, you know, you're all children. Just remember that. But there's no child. And we always think of the kids, the little ones, you know, and the kids in the home. And no doubt it's referring to that. But let me ask you, in your childhood, and let me say, when you know, maybe you were a Christian. You just like, I just love obeying and honoring my parents at all times. Parents, you know the need for your kids. You're like, yeah, we got an issue in our house with that. What do, Pastor? Pray for their salvation and for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the only way they can obey that. They have no ability to obey their parents and honor their parents. And you know that, parents that have little ones. I mean, real little. Like, you know. They come out of the womb, they don't come out obedient, do they? They come out rebellious. They come out throwing fits and throwing things. And, you know, it's only when the Spirit of God gets a hold of them. And fathers, how is it that we're to rear up our children in the training and admonition of the Lord without ever provoking them? Notice it's fathers don't provoke. It's not mothers don't provoke. And all of the women say, oh, amen, I'm so glad that's in the Bible. Just so you know, your husband isn't the only one that has that problem provoking a little bit. It's just innately in him. And God says, listen, this is what you're to do. Not provoke, but you're to train, you're to rear up. Notice it doesn't say mothers rear up, because naturally mothers rear. And fathers have a hard time raising up and training and teaching. But that's the word. We need to be filled with the Spirit. It gets into the employee-employer area. How many of you love your boss and are so grateful to work for him? Some of you might. Some of you might have awesome bosses. I've heard, actually, the last week, I've heard of like two bosses that are like, awesome. I'm like, that'd be great to work for him. But how many of you struggle? Struggle with submitting, struggle with having a good attitude, struggle with being filled with the Holy Spirit and serving God in your job. That's what it's saying. That's what he's saying. This is the fruit of being filled with the Spirit. And so this is what Paul lays out in Ephesians. And then in Colossians, in our Colossians passage, it's the fruit of being filled with the Word. If you and I are filled with the Word. Now, I want you to note that in our Colossians passage, he's not speaking to an individual. He's speaking to a community of believers, the church. The church of Colossae, that's what he's saying. When he says there in verse 16, and let the word of Christ dwell in you, he's not saying in you, one person in the congregation. He's saying in you, the body, richly. We already covered last week the idea of singing and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And whatever, verse 17, our text this morning, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see that the only way we're to be able to do whatever, listen, and we're going to break this down and let's look at what this means, but just in introduction, whatever we do, can we do it in the name of Jesus? Whatever we do in our life. Well, you see, the issue is that we have flesh and we have the Spirit. And I just want to say this. When you live your life dominated and ruled by the Holy Spirit, you have a consistently blessed life. Let me say that again. When you live your life ruled and dominated by the Holy Spirit, you have a consistently blessed life. You will find that you will not have as much drama in your life than when your life is ruled by your flesh. I say that because of this. First of all, my own experience. Now, is that to say that someone that allows the Spirit of God to dominate their life doesn't have trials, doesn't have problems, never has any kind of drama in their life? No, of course not. That wouldn't be biblical at all. That's not consistent with those in the Scriptures that we see. That's not consistent with what the Word of God teaches. There's suffering in all of our lives. There's trials in all of our lives. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the blessing of God on your life. I'm talking about a life that is blessed, a life that has righteousness reigning in it. There's blessing there. The difference between a life that's just thrashed because of sin. Now, I've been a pastor for some time now, and I've seen a lot of people, and I've seen them live throughout a long time. And I've been able to watch what happens to those that obey the Lord. I've been in the counseling ministry for a long time. One of the things that you will note when you're in that kind of a ministry, when you're working one-on-one with people and their problems in their lives, those that take heed to biblical counsel, and biblical counsel always will lead us to the things we're talking about here this morning, ultimately their life is blessed. Even when they come and their life is just in shambles, their family's blessed. Their life is blessed. When they reject the Lord, and they might be in the church, but they can reject the Lord. They're rejecting the biblical counsel that's given to them. I can guarantee you, 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, a year down the road, they're going to still have problems. And these problems are going to continue to resurface because they're trying to handle life in the flesh. It's just black and white, church. And I say that to save you pain. I say that to encourage us this morning. Listen, God's way is the right way, not because God's right and he's the right one. And if you don't follow him, he's going to judge you. But God's way is right. It's righteous. It's holy. The word holy means wholesome. It speaks of there's blessing there. Righteousness brings about blessing. Unrighteousness does not bring blessing. It brings the opposite. It'll bring a curse. You can see that through the entirety of the Bible. Read it. I mean, you can see that through the law of God. Follow me and you'll be blessed. Reject me and you won't. Look at the nation of Israel and you watch that and repeat it over and over and over and over. And we see that in our own nation. We were once a nation established in righteousness. We have rejected righteousness. We've rejected the Word of God. We have rejected Christ. We have rejected the church as a nation. And our nation is going down the tubes, and it's going to go down very fast, very quickly. And church, we need to see that it is so important for us to be able to determine, is my life, and my goal of the message this morning is for you to leave saying to yourself, and the message this morning is a self-examination. Is my life a life dominated, ruled by the Holy Spirit? Is my life one that is being controlled by the Lord, or is my life dominated, ruled by the flesh? And the fruit of it will be obvious. In fact, in Galatians, turn over there with me. Go back again past Ephesians to the book of Galatians, the next book over. In Galatians chapter 5, we have a list there, a declaration and then a list of two lives. And listen to this. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Listen to what Paul's saying here. He's saying, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But that's the whole topic we've been looking at for the last 9 weeks, the flesh and the Spirit. Victory in my life, victory over my flesh, victory over sin, victory over me, and Christ ruling, Christ reigning. You know, we sang this morning, we started our worship set with lay me down. Just lay it all, Lord, I just lay my life down. It's an idea of abandonment, it's an idea of surrender, it's an idea of the Spirit's domination over my life. That's here what Paul says in verse 17, he says, for the flesh lusts, the word lust means crave or desire. It could be good or bad. It just speaks of a craving, a strong urge. It says here, the flesh lusts against. The word against is a word in the Greek that you could translate to push down. It's the idea of pushing. Just like if someone is pushing against you, right? They're coming against you, we say. So they're all against me. There's a pushing going on. And so understand this. This is a key verse to understanding the flesh and the Spirit. He says here that the flesh desires, and I'm going to just loosely translate this here for us, but looking it from the Greek here, it says, for the flesh desires, the flesh could be the sinful nature, the old man, so the sinful nature desires to push down the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. This is a constant battle going on inside of us, and the Spirit to push down the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led or dominated, driven by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now notice it's not under the law. And that kind of comes back to the context of Colossians because it's not about don't taste, don't touch, don't. It's not about a list of rules. But it's about Christ ruling. See, you don't need a law when the Spirit of God's dominating your life. And that's what Paul is getting to in Colossians, and we'll get there in a second. But I want you to see something before we do. In verse 19 through verse 21, he lists the works of the flesh. Now, as we read them, I want you to think about when someone lives their life in these, dominated by these things, what's the result going to be? Blessing or cursing? Listen to what he says. Now the works of the flesh, verse 19, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness. How much pain has come from those sins? How much pain to the person committing them, the people around them? Devastation. Destruction has happened in the core of the family unit in the United States of America because of these sins. And I've seen it firsthand. and it kills. Now listen, no doubt this morning there are people in this sitting here listening to this that have been engaged in these sins. There's hope, right? There's forgiveness, right? There's cleansing. But if you continue in these sins, it's going to be devastating. And God wants to spare us. Notice he says in verse 20, idolatry, which is maybe you're not engaged in the sins in verse 19, but you're engaged in putting anything above God as idolatry. It could be money. It could be a person. It could be a position in the church. It could be a position at work. It could be, wanting to lead worship, wanting to whatever. Anything above the Lord. Idolatry. He says sorcery, hatred. Now this gets real close to home here. Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, which I have told you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past. I mean, Paul's warned often about this. Now he's telling them again the third time. So past, present, and future. He's saying that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice these things. Now listen, think about it right now. The flesh is envy. The flesh is outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, contentions, jealousies. Think about those if they're in your family. Think about those if they're in your life, in your heart. Is that, when you think about it, you think, and I'll be blessed. When I exercise those things, man, it's just, there's blessing all around me. No, it's just devastation, right? It's gross. No one wants to be around you. No one wants to be in your family. It's just strife. It's just flesh. It's the enemy. It's destruction. And church, this is exactly what Satan wants. And this is what the flesh will bring. And this is what the enemy's trying to do in your life. He's trying to destroy you. And it's our own self that will destroy us. What do I need salvation from? Save me from me. You ever prayed that? Not just when you got saved. Like, you ever wake up in the morning? Or maybe it takes you a few more hours until you really realize who you are in the day. And you just go, God, would you just save me from me? And you this stuff's in you, this strife and envy. And you're like, what's that? Why am I jealous? All this stuff. And you need what? You don't need a rule, a list of rules. You shouldn't do that. No, don't do that. You're like, I know that. Right? Lord, how do I not do that? But being filled with the Spirit. You see, look at verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now look at the contrast here. I mean, this is just like darkness and light, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, think about that. It says in the verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. I mean, think about adultery and love, biblical love. Wow, what a contrast. What blessing is in that sphere of love. What a life of joy and blessing. He says love, joy, peace. How many of us say, I would love that surrounding my life and surrounding me and coming out of me would be love, joy, and peace. I mean, that makes a place of blessing, doesn't it? We teach our kids, something called the circle of blessing. That there's a circle right here, and it's basically, this is the rules that we have in our home. You stay in those, there's blessing there. You go outside of those, and there's judgment. There's chastisement. There's discipline. If you stay in the circle of blessing, you're blessed. So God is saying, listen, I've got blessing for you. I want to bless you, just like us as parents. We want to bless our kids. I never find it a joy to discipline my children. Like, oh yeah, this is going to be a good one now. Yeah, they really did it. I'm going to get them. It's like, oh man, here we go again. They're brokenhearted. Because it's that place of blessings, that place of love, that place of joy, that place of peace. Listen to what he says. That place where there's patience, long-suffering, where kindness flows, where goodness flows, where faithfulness flows, where gentleness flows, where self-control is. And notice he says, and against such, note that phrase, and against such, there is no law. There's no law. Why? Should we live lawless? No, you don't need a law when the Spirit of God is dominating your life. See, that's the point. There is no need for a law when the lawgiver leads you. It's greater than a law. That's exactly what Paul is saying in our Colossians passage. Turn back over there with me and let's break this down. He says in verse 17, and whatever you do, this is what he's saying here. He's closing this section up. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In whatever it is that you and I are doing, we are to be doing it in the name of Jesus. And we'll get into that here in a second, what that means, in the name of Jesus. Before we do that, I just want to point out this phrase, whatever you do. If you got the outline this morning, towards the bottom of it, right after it says whatever you do, you'll see some bullet points there. And that's for you to take right now and begin to write what you do in a day or in a week. And I want us just to do something a little different here this morning. I want us just to examine something, but to do that, we just need to think. I just want us to just pause for a minute instead of just listening to me, and I want you to think and write down, what's your daily routine? You know, you wake up in the morning, I mean, for example, what do? You read your Bible, maybe you check your Facebook, maybe you eat breakfast, maybe you work out, and maybe you watch the news, or I don't know. What do? You go to work, you go to school, at work you do this, you do that. We all have routines, okay? At night you get home, maybe you have a family dinner, or you eat by yourself, or you watch, some TV, or you have a favorite show, or whatever. So just jot down, would you? Right now, just jot down in there what you do. I'm not going to ask you to turn it in. This is between you and the Lord. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to jot down a few things that I do, and then we're going to examine this. Okay, continue to jot them down if you still are. So, for instance, I've got down here, I read the Word, my morning devotion. Now, question is, do I do it in the name of Jesus? That's an easy one, isn't it? Reading your Bible, and that's a good one to start with, huh? Do I do it in the name of Jesus? Do I do it for the glory of God? Well, the reality is you can, you should, but you could just read because, you're reading through the Word or something, in the year, and you could do that in the flesh. Like, sometimes we just need to step back and go, am I doing this for the glory of God? Okay, social media. In the morning I will. I'll check, real quickly my Facebook and just kind of see what's going on. I got a Twitter account and, an Instagram and all this stuff. Why am I even engaged in that? Is it for the glory of God? Is it to promote the gospel? Is it to encourage people? Is it to love people and, build people up and edify? Or is it just, I like to hear the, gossip of the day. Maybe you work out. Why do you work out? Again, I'm not saying any of these things are bad, of course. Why do we work out? Do I work out in the name of Jesus? Because I feel like I need to be healthy and I need to be fit for the glory of God. That's a great motive. That's a great reason to work out. I have down here eating. But why do, in my food intake, do I do it for the glory of God? Can I do it in the name of Jesus? Sometimes we don't think about this. We think what we do is we go, this is spiritual and this is secular. And so here's the spiritual. We're spiritual right here this morning. We're being spiritual, right? Here we are, worship Jesus, I'm at church, studying the Bible, it's my spiritual moment. Maybe even in your day you have that. I get up and I pray for 5 minutes and, you know, I read a little devotional or whatever and I'm, you know, this is my spiritual moment. But then, you know, well, when I eat, I'm not being spiritual. Everything, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything I do, even mentions eating, and that's because he's talking there in the context about them eating meat sacrificed to idols, and whatever I do. You know, what do? I go to work, at work, and am I there? You know, why am I at work? Why am I at work? This is pure secular work. You know, you might say to me, Pastor Trent, you don't understand because you're a pastor. Hold on for a second before you make that judgment, okay? I live in the real world too, and I work with people as well, and before I was a pastor, I was a construction worker. So, you know, trust me, I've worked in the real world and understand what's out there. Now, let me just say this. When I was a construction worker, and I got up at, you know, god-awful hours in the morning, and, you know, fought traffic. And yeah, you're right. I don't miss some of that. And, you know, was out there a hot summer day laying bricks. And it was miserable. And why was I there? Well, to make money, pay the bills. No, I was there in the name of Jesus. Everything you do is to be done, whatever we do in word or deed, in the name of Jesus. I'm there. God's providing finances for me through this. This is what I should be doing. This is what God wants me to do. But I'm not here to make money. I'm not here to get stuff. I'm here to be a witness of Jesus. And so, man, those opportunities the Lord gave me when I was out there on the construction field to share the gospel, they were awesome. And a lot of times, it was before I could share the gospel, I needed to prove that I was a hard worker. There wasn't some Christians just sat around, you know, instead of working and passing out tracts and sharing the gospel. You know, we're over there having a prayer meeting when we should be working. You know, the boss leaves and everyone goes, you know, chill out. But that I was faithful. I was committed, all for the glory of God. See, it changes your life. It changes the way you approach life. It changes the way you see life. And it's no longer, man, this is a bummer. I hate this. Let's say you've got a really difficult boss or some employees you work with. You just want to strangle them. You guys know what I'm talking about. Don't you? I mean, someone smile. Someone nod their head. Yeah. You know, there's just, and what is that? That is God giving you an opportunity to be a witness of him. That is God sanctifying you. That is God challenging you. So I'm like, I just hope I can get transferred out of this department. Well, yeah, there's just so you know, two things. In the next department you go to, there's other people. Secondly, you're going there too. So, you know, you carry yourself with you. And what all of these things are in our lives, they're to be done in the spiritual realm. There's not secular and sacred. It's not like jump into church, I jump into spiritual, I jump out. This is a miserable life. And you're missing what it means to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible is very practical. God is very practical. He set you in a society, in a world that operates the way it does. And he's got a plan for you. It's not like, well, yeah, just deal with that, huh? And come to church and worship me and then go back to, you know, your life. Listen, he is to be our life. Notice what he says there in verse 3, he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He is our life. And when Christ, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, who is our life, Jesus is our life. The media I watch, can I do it in the name of Jesus? See, that's what he's saying. The hobbies I have, can I do it in the name of Jesus? This isn't a rule book. This is the Spirit of God leading you. You decide that. I'm not going to tell you what. I don't have a list of, you know, movies that are acceptable and movies that aren't. You know, at the back door when you walk out, we'll give you a list. You let the Lord lead you. You let the Lord speak to you, but just simply be real with him and answer the simple question that whatever I do, and notice he says here, whatever I do, in word or in deed, whatever it is, in the things I say, in the deeds that I do, he says, do everything in the name of Jesus. Everything in the name. What does it mean to do something in the name of someone? If you were to go do something in my name, let's say, for example, you serve here at the church, and you're going to move, and you're moving, and you've gone there, and you've kind of checked it out, and you found a church, and you, let's say it's another Calvary Chapel, and I say to you, you tell me, I say, you know, I know the pastor, and I'm gonna give you a reference over there, because you're ministering, you're an amazing person, and a total blessing to us, and so I'm gonna let the pastor know, and you want to get involved in that church, so you're gonna go over there, and you come over there in the name of me. You say, Pastor Trent said that this is a good church, and I'll find a place to serve here. Well, I call up the pastor and I let him know, hey, you're coming, and I give you this killer reference. This guy's awesome. He's total blessing. He's gifted in this and this and this. He's just been a blessing to us. Listen, you're going there in my name. You're going there on my word. You're going there representing me. So you go into that church and just thrash the church, let's say. I mean, you just start causing division, gossiping, you know. What are you doing? You're doing that, not just you're doing it, you're doing it in my name. You're reflecting me. So that guy, next time I see him at a pastor's conference, he's going to be like, oh, dude, there's the guy that sent the person to my church that thrashed it and said he was awesome. That affects my character. That affects my name. Every time that pastor sees me from here on out, he's going to have a bad taste in his mouth. Listen, you go in the name of Jesus. You go into that workplace in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, you're there. And when people see you, you're representing him. Can you say, with that word I've just spoken, with that deed I've just done, in the name of Jesus, can you add in the name of Jesus to everything you do in your daily routine? Just, I want you to think about it. In the name of Jesus, I just watched that show. In the name of Jesus, I just checked that out on the internet. In the name of just Jesus is with me. He's my life. And I'm filled with his spirit. And he's carrying me through. Now, there will be things for sure that you'll say, no, I can't. What do? Well, you repent. I mean, that's what we do, right? You just confess it's not good. This isn't the Lord for me. I've got to get rid of it and let it go and let his spirit strengthen you to do that. And you'll find that your life will be so much easier when it's done in the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord. Listen, the Westminster Shortened Catechism says this. First questions asked, which it's a series of questions and answers. What is the chief end of man? Question is answered. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is the goal of man. This is the goal of a Christian life. John Piper would always say, obviously reflecting on that statement, when God is most glorified, you are most satisfied. It's true. You are blessed when God is being glorified through you. You are not blessed when God is being diminished through your life. And so this is here what Paul is saying. He's saying, in whatever we do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm reflecting his character. I'm reflecting his person. I'm reflecting him in my life. I do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that just causes me to be more sober. That does. When I say sober, I don't mean that I'm not fun, I don't laugh, I don't have, you know, joy. You know, I'm kind of like a guy like with a lemon between my teeth, you know. But it think I think, should I say this? How can I build this person up? Not with my words and my deeds. Let me go do that. Let me bless that person. I become more of a servant. Instead of like, whoa, where are they? Well, they don't do it for me. Who cares what they do for you? I'm a servant because I'm Jesus' servant. See, I'm going to go do that in the name of Jesus. There's such joy in doing that and giving and being a fountain of blessing. And then he simply just says this in closing. He says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, that's what it will do. It will, your life will be a life of thanksgiving. When your life is a life ruled by the Holy Spirit. Your life will be a life that there's thanksgiving coming out of you. You can praise the Lord. Listen, tomorrow morning, in maybe that God-awful hour when you're on the freeway and there's all these people around you that don't know how to drive, that you're really upset at, ask yourself this simple question. Am I going to live my life today for the glory of God? And can I do everything I do? And then so I'm going to mumble under my breath about that person that just cut me off in the name, and just tack on in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. You can't do it, can you? But you know what you can do is you can enjoy your commute because God is with you. And you can worship the Lord. What a great harvest field for prayer, the freeway. I find that. Traffic is a harvest field of prayer. Is it not? And not just praying, Lord, help me not cuss or whatever. But Lord, help them. I mean, look at them. They're so stressed. And am I one of them or am I transformed? Am I different? Because the Word of God transforms our lives. And he transforms us. It's just, and what's the result of it? You're at peace. You're at ease. You're not all stressed out with everyone else. And by the way, you're going to get to work in the same time. Maybe you should leave earlier if you're always late. That's probably what it is. Probably not the traffic, because the traffic's always there, right? They're just, you're able to just enjoy the Lord and be an enjoyable person to be around and a blessing, and your life will be blessed. And this is what God has for us. We're to be different than the world. We're to be totally different than who they are and how they act. And, you know, wouldn't it be great to get to work? You know, maybe you had an hour commute and traffic was real bad this morning and you had, you know, an extra 15 minutes of prayer. I mean, you're ready for the day. Let's go. You're not like, oh. You're filled with the Spirit, ready to take on what God has given to you. And notice that we give thanks to God the Father. Notice this phrase, through him. It's through Jesus. It's because of him. I can give thanks because I'm saved. Through him is the idea of his mediation. I can give thanks because I'm born again, because I'm going to heaven. And so when you're there struggling with something, you can give thanks to the Lord because you're saved, because you know him, because you're his child. There's always reason to worship. There's always reason to thank him. There's always reason to get filled the Spirit and experience the domination and the ruling of God's Spirit in our lives. It's not about legalism. It's not about a list of rules to follow to be holy. It's about following him wholeheartedly. And as you do, he will fill you and he will do that work. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take these principles, apply them, that you might see the fruit even in this week, even tomorrow. When you fail, when you blow it, which you will, just quickly repent. Turn to him. He's gracious. He's there. Go through Jesus and come to the Father and return back to that place of giving God thanks. Father, we thank you for your word. We, Lord, are so blessed to have your word in our lives and to guide us, Lord. Where would we be? We'd be so lost, Lord, without your word. We pray that it would indeed richly dwell in us, dominating us, your Spirit would fill us, and that we would be those people, God, that would just be blessed by righteousness, a life of the Spirit. Be glorified, we pray. Be magnified, we ask, and have your way in us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.